Blog Talk Radio.
Come on, that ass, too. Give me 3 and a half minutes. Maybe, she'll be wanting to marry next. Poor mama. Yeah. Older the berry, the sweeter the juice.
I guess the blacker the berry, the sweeter the juice.
Yeah, well, yeah. She blacking in the motherfucker, too.
Hello, hello, hello. Once again, welcome to the Tiebreaker Radio Show. And this is a segment I like to call How to Get Away with Basketball. It's your host, Shug. I'm having a very good day. Lots of things going on in the pro basketball world. We got player movement, new blood, getting ready for the NBA Summer League. Rookies being introduced by their respective team. A lot of drama and a lot of stuff. Still yet to be discovered things. First of all, shout out to Chris Paul. Shout out to the Clippers fans that have flocked over the last 4 years. Say goodbye to your quote-unquote dynasty and your time as ruling the Staples Center, so-called, supposedly. Of course, everybody knows the Clippers had to trade for Chris Paul after Hornets were backed out of the deal with the Lakers. They changed the franchise. And they've won banners ever since, division titles, beating the Lakers at least 10-8 times in a row. And mostly it's been Chris Paul, who has elevated the game of Blake Griffin and DeAndre Jordan to an all-star level. All of that is over now. Of course, Chris Paul and Blake Griffin opted out of the last year of their contracts. DeAndre Jordan already still signed that big contract last year. So, it's a flux going on in the Clippers. But congratulations to Chris Paul. He's now in Houston with James Harden, a trade that basically Houston gutted the team, sending 5 players over. See Sam Decker, Lou Williams, Patrick Beverly. Really, they benched pretty much in starting guard. Patrick Beverly and Chris Paul were both on the all-defensive team, so I don't think Houston definitely gains without losing as far as starting point guard. I think they will miss Lou Williams, even though they only had him for about 30 games, I believe, at the end of the season plus playoffs. He's to me, he was the sixth man of the year, should have won it over Eric Gordon. But to each his own. I think they still have a nice little core there with Harden, Chris Paul, of course, Ryan Anderson at the four playing stretch 5. I think they need to still re-sign Nene, and of course got Eric Gordon. Now, I think that there's still rumors that Houston's still trying to get Paul George. Everybody's trying to get Paul George, and I don't blame him. He's probably, out of all the free agents, out of all the stars that's looking to be moved, to me, he's the best of them. Even though Chris Paul is more, if I had to start my team, I'm starting with Chris Paul before Paul George. Paul George is, 26, 27 years old, a young man. So he still has his best years ahead. And even coming off that freak injury during Team USA time a couple of years ago. So, shout out to Paul George. Hope you end up where you like. I know a lot of Cleveland fans would like to see him in a Cavaliers jersey so that they can return to the finals with a little bit of extra firepower to face Kevin Durant. We'll see. Cavaliers owner Dan Gilbert, who was at the White House when the Chicago Cubs coincidentally were being honored by the president for winning the World Series for the first time in 100 years. Not a really good look as far as, I guess Cleveland fans are concerned, not to switch over and get into political, because we know that, a lot of the basketball culture is really urban, not to say that there aren't any quote-unquote white fans, because there are more white fans than black fans. But, a lot of the NBA is a black league, so I wouldn't say that, you know, it poses a threat as far as him losing ticket sales, but definitely in the long run, to keep players like Kyrie Irving, LeBron James, who has been outspoken against Donald Trump, or maybe more so towards Hillary Clinton as opposed to Donald Trump. All in all, it was just a bad look for him. As we know, the Indians lost to the Cubs in the World Series. Or was that? Yeah, they lost basically to the Cubs in the World Series. And, you know, Cleveland put on. That's one thing I say about Cleveland fans. They loyal. They don't play no kind of disrespect or disloyalty. Once you with them, you with them. Once you out, you out. If you in Ohio, you in Cleveland, you're not a fan, you're not with the Cavs, Indians, Browns, they pretty much don't like you. You know, it's looked at as like a traitor. So, I don't know. Yet remains to be seen with that. But Paul George was on record as saying that he will sign with the Cavaliers if LeBron's going to be there. Having said all of that, how does this fit into LeBron's decision to stay in Cleveland past this next upcoming year? A lot of things to factor in. The way the team's going to look, whether or not they get rid of Kevin Love, keep Kevin Love, what they're going to do with Kyrie Irving, if he's going to stay there. All players are signed. And if Cleveland can make it better. Right now, I think Portland has the highest payroll right now at over $138 million, and Cleveland's like either second or third, well over the tax threshold. So, you know, Dallin Gilbert, he was willing to come out of his pockets, but I don't know any owner in the NBA who wouldn't be if they had LeBron James on their team that was playing for a championship. So we'll see how long that lasts. Moving on, Lakers talk. Lakers just introduced all of their draft picks to the media. Drafted Josh Hart, four-year senior out of Villanova, won a national championship. Kyle Kuzma, which I had to look up a lot of things for him, but Kyle Kuzma is actually, I think he could play a good small forward in the league, maybe a stretch four if he learns to shoot a jumper every now and again. And Thomas Bryant, who was acquired in a trade. Now, none of these names actually jump out on paper at you. Probably anybody that's not an NCAA fan probably won't know who they are. Of course, Thomas Bryant from the Indiana Hoosiers. I like his size, 6'10", 7-foot wingspan, 250, and he's very athletic. So, you know, what he brings to the table, I think the Lakers can use. I think he's probably going to have to improve on at least a mid-range jump shot, preferably a three-point shot, which he did show he was able to do in the corner a lot while at Indiana. Improvement as well, but he'll have to shoot that more consistent in order to stay on the floor in today's NBA now, because it's not just one of those, you can't just be an athletic big man anymore, unless, you know, it's never going to be, defense is never going to go away. So unless he's hanging his hat on pure defense and being a lockdown defender, he's going to have to develop, a consistent three-point shot if he wants to remain NBA. But, you know, shouts out to all three of the players. Lakers appear to be moving in the right direction, continuing with the youth movement, have not made any deals besides the trade for, of course, Brooke Lopez, which sent D'Angelo Russell and Timothy Mozgov, thank God, to Brooklyn in exchange. Now, a lot of people saying it was a salary dump, and I agree. I think it was too, although the Lakers probably won't admit it, and they haven't. GM, general manager, which is a former agent, slips my mind. Anyway, he introduced him and said that it wasn't a salary dump, and even went on to say some nice things about Brooke. And let me just clear the room. I like Blake Griffin as a player. I think he's one of the best centers in the league. He did show that he could shoot the three. He's got off the dribble moves that he could. I mean, he's got dribble moves that he can do. He can use penetration to get to the rim, and that three actually helps him with getting that dribble penetration to the rim, you have to have that in today's NBA where players like Draymond Green and Ryan Anderson are playing the four and the five and they shooting threes, standing out there knocking down threes, and also passing. I'm not going to say that Brook Lopez is the answer for the future, but I think, you know, at a one-year rental, he plays for the Lakers, shows us what he has. You know, he might even be able to pull an all-star berth out here, you know, depending on what his numbers look like and how many wins the Lakers can get. And I think if he gets an all-star nod or something close to it, I think that he has a good chance of the Lakers keeping him. Definitely not at that $22, $23, $24 million a year price tag, but maybe something a little lower. We'll see what the Lakers do. You know, right now it's all positives. That's it. They're still not traded Jordan Clarkson Julius Randle, which I think the Lakers are really high on Jordan Clarkson, Randle, and especially Larry Nance Jr. Larry Nance Jr., I don't think he's going anywhere anytime soon. They really like him. He's a glue guy. He hustles. He plays good. Plays well. And he's shown a little bit of versatility as far as the defensive end guard and fours and threes. To whatever extent you see. Lakers also picked up the option of David Nwaba. He was pretty much a walk-on. Signed a couple of teams. They contracts last year with the Lakers when they were going through some injuries, and they like this hustle, like this defense and athleticism. 6'4" guard, California native, you know, California product, and signed into $1 million for an extra year with some incentives to stay beyond that. I think it's good for the guy. I think it's good for the Lakers. You know, not only getting him cheap, well, quote unquote cheap, for that, if he can come off the bench and give them some good minutes. I still got a long way before we talk about championship, but I think playoffs is a reality for the Los Angeles Lakers. Moving on, one of the biggest trades in the NBA happened with Jimmy Butler. Jimmy Butler to the Timberwolves. So Jimmy Butler was introduced to the Timberwolves facility with his old coach Tom Thibodeau to some, you know, some Minnesota Twins baseball players, Vikings, and had a a nice press conference with the media, and where he gave out his phone number and tells them to give him a call. Just, I mean, I like Jimmy Butler, man. He's, I think if you got Jimmy Butler on your team, it's never a bad thing. I don't think he's one of those stars that's overpaid or overrated. There's a reason why the Cavaliers and other teams were wanting and looking for him, so. Shouts out to the Minnesota Timberwolves. They should be nice next year. I see no reason why the Timberwolves shouldn't be contending for a playoff spot in the Western Conference either. It doesn't vibe well for teams like maybe the Portland Trailblazers or even the Thunder, for that matter. You know, they get finally, they gave my man his props, Russell Westbrook, the MVP. To be honest, Russell Westbrook should be a three-time MVP. I think he deserved it last year and deserved to at least be in the conversation the year before. But however be the case, this is his year. And Kevin Durant even showed some congratulations on Twitter. So it appears at least that part of the feud is over. We'll see how it plays out when Golden State plays the Thunder this year four times. But yes, it's like it always, same old thing out west. It's the wild, wild west. It's going to be a nice NBA season. Another player has been on the move. Dwight Howard traded to the Charlotte Hornets while tweeting what were some of the best trade destinations for players to be with fans. That had to be some of the funniest shit ever. I think some of the fans were telling him. That he asking him, did he know he was traded? So we'll see. I think Dwight Howard's fall from grace. I think he can reinvent himself in Charlotte. There's not a lot of high expectations for him. Steve Clifford, I think, worked with him in Orlando and LA when he went. So, you know, we'll see this goes. But all eyes is watching you, Howard. They watching. Expectations ain't there, but this is a chance for you to resurrect your career. We'll see how serious you are. You know, he said he's been in the gym working on his three-pointer, man. Let's Let's get free throws down, Pat, first, my brother. All right. So one of the things I wanted to talk about was the idea that maybe Houston now, with the Chris Paul trade, has the best backcourt in the NBA. Now, that's a good question. I'll put that in the chat room from some friends of mine of the show, some of our show members, and got just a few responses. A lot of people prefer the Splash Brothers. I really think that it's a little bit hype, too, because they have been to the finals three times in a row and run two NBA championships. That's a complete team. It's not just those Lakers teams. I just featured Shaq and Kobe and a lot of players that fit around them. They're a legitimate super team. With Kevin Durant now in the picture, too. So, you know, it's tough to call. You know, I like CJ and Dame out here, West and Portland. I think as far as scoring, you'd be hard-pressed to find a better scoring backcourt than here in Portland, other than the Splash Brothers, who obviously can shoot the three a lot better. Klay Thompson makes them really look good because Klay Thompson is a two-way player. He can play offense and defense. He's really good at isolation ball and just setting and shooting. He's scored 60 points. On, like, what, 15, 16 shots, something like that, something crazy like that. Just catch and shoot, you know, and that's talent. You know, not to hate on him at all. You know, a lot of players can't do that. However, I do think that James Harden and Chris Paul are better, like, right now, on paper and as it stands. And I think when you see this season, you'll see what I'm talking about, too. They're just going to be the best, you know, one-on-one. James Harden is unstoppable, has been. In the pick and roll, Chris Paul is unstoppable. You know, he's the prototypical and has been the prototypical floor general and point guard since he entered the NBA. Only rival he's ever had is Jason Kidd. Jason Kidd was at the end of his career. At one point, it was Darren Williams. In the beginning, we've seen how that turned out, and Chris Paul's still shining, still doing his thing. So I think when you match him up, man for man, you give me Chris Paul over Steph Curry. You know, people forget Chris Paul was taking a team with the Golden State's bench player, David West, a Hornets team that started David West, and players like James Posey and Rasul Butler. And they were, you know, in the playoffs consistently. Chris Paul even almost got an MVP, you know, was second, and Kobe's only MVP season. So I think a lot of people take, and social media kills a lot of some of the, like, reality of NBA players and skills. They see Steph Curry doing those moves, those carries and travels, where he's crossing over Chris Paul a couple of times, and that's all fine and well, but Chris Paul is still first team all defense. And Steph Curry got a vote for second team all defense, but it will never and probably never ever be on an all defensive team. There's no player that he can really lock down. Chris Paul, for him being shorter than Steph Curry, you know, is a much better defender, clearly, obviously. I think the only advantage that Steph Curry has over him is shooting as far as a three-pointer and, of course, having the better team. Pick and roll, defense, they get to the rim, I think, is about as like about equal. You know, Chris Paul has a nice little handle about him. A lot of people like Steph's moves because they like that step back thing. But without a step back jumper, you know, Chris Paul has one, but without using it that frequently, he still has been since he came in the league keeping defenders on skates. And like I said, most of the time with mediocre talent. So, yo, you know, that's my argument. Of course, we had to. Klay Harden matchup, which, you know, clearly Klay Thompson's got him on the defensive end. James Harden infamously plays very, very bad defense. But as far as being a playmaker, making their teammates better, James Scott Harden's got him hands down. I think shooting is about even. because even though James Harden's had some bad nights, so is Klay Thompson. And I just like to take James Harden as an offensive player, as a single player over Klay Thompson. You know, we've yet to see what Klay Thompson can really do on his own. You know, in that 60-point game that I mentioned before, most of those shots, most of those looks was open looks. It's most of the time because the team, opposing teams have to respect Steph Curry, Kevin Durant, and even to a smaller extent, Draymond Green, who legitimately can knock down open three-pointers, open shots. So, you know, I would like to see what James Harden would have with that type of freedom. We saw what he did in Oklahoma City. He was just a youngin, you know. So there's that, but they got to play the games. They got to play the games. It's going to be an interesting season. Still got to see exactly what the Rockets are going to do. We're filling out the rest of their roster. They got a couple of extra pieces I think they have to do. Like I said, re-signing them, they, I think, should be a top priority. Don't, you know, back up the Brinks truck for him, but give him enough to make him want to stay. He's older now, and he was a real key piece for you toward in the season and in the playoffs. Big thing, got to mention this before we go, the New York dysfunctional Knicks. Even more dysfunctional than my Los Angeles Lakers, who have gotten their act together by getting rid of general manager Mitch Kupchak and president of basketball operations, Jim Buss. New York Knicks have parted ways with the 11-time champion as a coach, who was a player, Phil Jackson. It was mutual, as a statement from James Dolan said. A lot of people already feel that this has been long overdue. Watching First Take, I think a couple of people brought up the fact that why wasn't this done before the draft? Because he was allowed to draft a player from, I believe, was it France? I don't know. I haven't seen anything on the guy. I think his name is Natilkina, something like that. I don't know. We'll figure it out. Frank, that's what we'll call him for right now. We'll figure it out. We'll see what he did. Obviously, nobody liked the Porzingis draft pick at the time. You know, it was even booed by Knicks fans. But I don't think I know they're definitely not booing anymore. So Porzingis is he skipped his meeting, his exit interview, infamously. And Phil Jackson was infamously, upset about it, to the point where he said he was entertaining trade talks and they've gotten calls about him. And I just feel just doing a bad job, man. He's already singled out and isolated Melo during the season and after the season, openly criticizing him without being transparent and talking to him. And then he jumps on Porzingis. Now, these are your two biggest stars, your old star and your new star. And you've isolated both of them. Just to be honest, I'm going to agree with Stephen A. Smith. I don't think Phil Jackson really wanted the job in the first place. I think he just took it for the money, bored, and they have nothing to do. Jay Williams reporting that he was falling asleep during draft picks workouts. It just shows a man who's either too old or not interested, you know. And it's one thing if he was coaching. I could see Phil coaching somewhere else. I could see somebody taking a chance on him, and it might be a good move. But as an executive, as a GM, responsible for player personnel, he hasn't been good. And I don't know if Phil Jackson understands why he hasn't been good. And I think he overlooks, the job that Jerry West was doing with him while he was in L.A., and Mitch Kupchak as well, as Jerry Cross, who was GM for those Bulls dynasties in the 90s. It was a good day for the Knicks. I really think Carmelo should stay in New York instead of forcing a trade. I think now the door is open for players to come to New York. It's players that want to come to New York. Now, we'll see what their offense takes. You'll see what they do as far as free agency. They got a little bit of room. Not enough to make no big splashes this summer, but enough room to fill out their roster with some quality players and maybe make a run at some players next year. Still got that really, really bad Joakim Noah contract, which we'll see what Joakim can do. I won't say he's done, but he's definitely a shell of his all-star self. I don't think we'll see him on any all-star teams anymore. And that was just a bad contract. Really happy for Melo, though. Well, that's it for today. We're going to resume this next time on how to get away with basketball, where we're going to explore the rest of the summer. Continue to keep your eye out on player movement and be ready for the NBA Summer League. Once again, this is your host, Suge. I'm out.